Welcome to the One Prez Pod and Season 2 of You're Using It Wrong with me, Phil Blackburn, and my good friend Stephen Martin. During the month of May, we will talk about ways where Christianity in America might be slightly off track and how we think it might best be fixed. Join us. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the One Prez Pod. It's me, Phil Blackburn.
And me, Stephen Martin.
Yeah, we're Zooming this one, Stephen.
Zooming, because we like to do it quick. I don't know. We're always moving. How about that?
That's right. Zooming. That's right. Getting us in the same room is not the easiest thing to do.
No, but we're here and we are prepared.
We are prepared, and by prepared, we mean I have no idea what we're going to talk about today, but I assume you have had a thought in the week since we have chatted.
Yeah, I've got thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we're going to talk about today is faith.
Mm.
So the Bible says, Jesus said, I should say, that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, mm-hmm. you could move mountains.
Yes.
Now, I've heard that a bunch growing up.
Uh-huh.
And so a little bit of getting into, tithing and, I can't think of the word right now, but
the prosperity type stuff.
Prosperity. Yeah. Some of that, but the idea being that, if you had enough faith, mm-hmm. better things would happen to you. That's really what I want to drill into is mm-hmm. people feeling that they're not doing well enough as mm-hmm. Christians. And that if they just had a little more faith, something better would have happened. They would have mm-hmm. had a better outcome. Where is this in the Bible that we're not doing enough as believers? Is there mm-hmm. something there, or is there something that goes against it so we can just say, You're doing fine.
Yeah. Well, I think you always have to remember, like, at least in the Gospels. Now, when you get into the Old Testament, it would be intellectually disingenuous to say that there's nothing of this present in Scripture, right? Yep. Especially in the Old Testament, the idea that prosperity was related to being in God's favor. Mm-hmm. It's not everywhere there, but it is there. Once you get into the New Testament, I think by and large it goes away, and pretty much what happens is we read it into that. Like, I would say, from a prosperity perspective, I don't think things went very well for Jesus. He was very poor.
Yeah.
As best as we know, he did not manage to find a wife.
Right. Not according to Dan Brown, but
right. Unless you're down the Mary Magdalene road. And then he got murdered.
Yikes. That is true.
And people stole the little clothes that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you go by prosperity gospel standards, which is, you know, if you have abundant faith, God will bless you with health and wealth and a happy marriage. Like, it certainly on the face of it would indicate Jesus did not have a lot of faith by that metric.
Right.
Then if we think about Paul, also poor. Also, by and large, as far as we know, again, unmarried, also murdered.
Not a great start off.
Right. You know, it's not the sort of thing that that's going to fill a megachurch, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, like when I hear faith the size of a mustard seed and you can move mountains, I think of that within the context of the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
I don't think of that within the context of my MasterCard.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway. And also that would, like, here, we'll just make everybody angry. Also, by that metric, it means that, like, George Soros and Donald Trump are two of the most faithful people around.
Yeah.
So I think I've covered both ends of my spectrum there.
You did.
With those two people. So
we went both ways real
quick. Went both ways. So all everybody's triggered now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This stuff, the prosperity stuff, you know, Kate Bowler writes very eloquently about it. And she's very popular, but man, it is insidious.
Oh yeah. Well, how about we move away from prosperity gospel and we just focus on people trying to believe hard enough.
Yeah.
Not just monetarily, but if I had enough faith, then grandma would be getting better. And then they put all of that on themselves, and it's their fault when grandma passes away and they didn't believe hard enough. And I thought you were on my side. And now their whole point of view changes because they feel guilty that they didn't have enough faith. And is it my fault? I tried. It's got to be God's fault. And so everything changes.
Yeah. You know, like, certainly in my career, I've encountered people who, a lot of times around grief, there are questions of, like, how could God allow this to happen? You know, did I not do, I was in church every Sunday, and yet, but, you know, there's just no guarantee. Like, there's nowhere that it's written like that everybody's going to die. So I don't know how else to say it. It's like, I don't, you know,
I just had that conversation with the 4-year-old.
Yeah. And it's, and sometimes those deaths, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. They are tragic.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'll give you, I mean, I've been to Haiti twice. I'm no Haitian expert, but, like, I've met those people. I've sat with those people. I've broken bread with those people. There's some incredibly faithful people down there living in some extremely problematic circumstances.
And
for a minute would believe that God has forsaken them because things are hard or really, really hard. It, to me, it's kind of a peculiarly American way to look at it, you know, and especially modern America, where we have such a distance between ourselves and death. But yeah, I mean, Tosh and I have literally talked to people, you know, and there's an 85-year-old who's died, and a grieving child who's in their 60s will say, how could God have allowed this to happen? And I understand that's the grief talking. I have no judgment around it, but it's emblematic of what you're like. Well, that's beyond the average human lifespan, you know? I mean, which is not a pastoral thing to say, so we don't say it. But yeah, I think our attitudes around death, around prosperity, around health, you know, they get tied up in faith. And, you know, I think our faith is very much supposed to correlate more towards the building of the kingdom.
Yeah. Well, and I remember having a conversation very similar to what you're talking about with someone. And I just told him, he's very upset that his, and I wasn't thinking about this when I gave the example, but that his grandmother had passed away, who was quite on in her years. She'd lived a pretty decent life. She was always in church. And the only reason he was at church was because he was upset that she had died and he felt God took her away, even though she was the best Christian he knew. And I just asked him, would you be here if that hadn't happened? And I feel like a lot of times we throw blame at God. And that it's kind of the opposite of what I was talking about earlier about having faith and things not happening. But I feel like that lady that passed away had faith, because every service I remember her praying, I want all of my grandkids in church. And so God was faithful, right?
Yeah.
Her faith, right. Like it came to pass. And so yeah. I just asked him, like, would you be here if it wasn't for her passing? And he said no, but, and then he just went back into, but I just don't understand why God would, and it didn't click for him.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and listen, you know, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt as well in this sense. Mm-hmm. Faith is relational, right? And certainly, I think all of us, when we are having a hard time, we can lash out in grief or anger or frustration at the people we have the closest relationships with.
Right.
And by lash out, I'm not talking about going beyond the pale, but I'm just saying you get short with your wife or short with your children or your parents because you're frustrated, because you're sad, because you're scared. And yep. Listen, God can take it. I'm perfectly cool with anger and frustration and bitterness in the context of a broader relationship where, you know, you're also grateful for the relationship you had with the loved one. And this is contextualized within the relationship that you have with God. But when it's, well, God failed me in this way, so I'm done. Like, you know, I mean, that's when, you know, you've kind of gotten a wrong impression of what it is we're dealing with here and what life kind of means.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, and it's not only death, like, and we can make examples of people that it's not surprising they passed away, but whenever somebody has a terminated pregnancy, or if there's moments in life where you're expecting good things and everybody's celebrating with you and everything is hunky-dory and you're excited about the future, and then life throws a curveball.
Yep.
And now the baby you thought you were having isn't coming, and those sorts of things. And I feel like some people are very open about those instances. Like we've had a couple miscarriages, and it's not easy. And so for me, at the point in my life at that time, it didn't shake my faith, but I know at some point it definitely would have. I just, that's more, I think, of where my mind's at, is how, like, there's a hard time explaining some of those things to people whenever it's supposed to be sunshine and rainbows and everybody's happy for you. And now all of a sudden, all you can feel is doubt and anger and grief. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments I feel where people really need to remind themselves that this wasn't their fault. It's no one's fault that these things happen, unless something was intentionally done, but it's nobody's fault. And it's the course of nature, and it's coincidence or whatever it may be. It's hard to soothe that pain, though. And is there something biblical that can do that? Like some salve?
You know, to me, it's about the community. Like, authentic community is mm-hmm. a place where you can speak your pain and your frustration in a space where you're surrounded by people who can help you navigate that from a perspective mm-hmm. of shared faith and love, like in a spiritual sense. What right. happens too often, and I think this is a failure of the church, is we expect everybody to come into church on a Sunday morning, like you're saying, like it's shiny, happy Sunday here. And we know mm-hmm. not everybody who walks in the doors that day is feeling that. So how, if we don't create space for that, then it's difficult for them to imagine that God has space for that. Because right. if the other people in church don't care that you're having a bad day and don't want to hear it, why would you think God cares and God wants to hear it?
That's an incredible way to look at it, because we are, like you said, faith is relational. And so we only know God as far as we know others, I feel like. So if other people aren't putting that light on who God is that are supposed to represent him, then nobody's going to have a positive outlook on anything.
No, and it's really hard, and I get it. Like, I don't know that you want to walk into church on a Sunday and walk up to everybody there and say, you know what, we had a miscarriage this week, but boy, I would sure hope for most people who attend worship regularly that there's some people you could invest that information with and count on to be like, okay, this is my community of faith, and this is the way God has blessed me. We don't have to walk through this alone. We don't have to carry this by ourselves. We don't have to pretend everything's fine. In most spaces you go into, it's not appropriate for you to go sit down at Outback. And when your waitress comes up and says, what can I get you? Well, we want beer because we just had a miscarriage. Like,
right.
Or to show up to work on a Monday morning and be like, boy, before I can do this, I really need to talk about my car wreck this weekend. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's not professional. Like, you're there for a job, you know?
Yeah. Not the right place.
It's not, but church should be. It should be.
Yeah.
It should be that place where, yeah, you may say, oh, I'm fine, but then to somebody there, no, I'm not fine. I'm really having a tough time here.
Yeah.
And to me, it's all wrapped up of a piece, you know? And you trust that person to not feed you platitudes, and you trust that person to not judge you and say, well, Stephen, if your faith had been stronger, you wouldn't have had that car wreck, or you wouldn't have had that miscarriage. You know, or I'm going to pray that you're going to be blessed in the future, that kind of stuff. That's not as helpful. Yeah. Just, I love you. I'm sorry. I love you. Let's sit. Okay. If you need to cry, let's go. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And that's sometimes easier said than done. I feel like a lot of that is just experience. And so to really, I guess, nail down for me, at least, I like to repeat what I've heard just to make sure that it sticks. And so to kind of nail down what you said, for me, it's not our responsibility to carry the burden, but it is our responsibility to find a relationship and a community that can help support us.
Yes.
And be that for somebody else as well.
Yeah. Faith is I think shared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I think about it is this, and you know, this is like, we'll use a theater analogy, right? Like, mm-hmm. is it more fun to see a movie or a play in a crowded theater, or is it more fun to watch it alone on your couch?
Yeah, well, it's very, very much more fun with other people.
Right? Like when you're laughing and you hear other people laugh, and then after the show, you walk out and you talk with your friends about the show, you know, and like it's meant to be, it's shared. You're sharing that experience. And in the sharing of that experience, it creates more meaning. And I think faith functions in very much a similar way.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice.
So is it time for us to call it?
I feel pretty good about this conversation.
Yeah, you're on the move in your house, and I feel like maybe...
you see me. You see me walking around. Now, we have a little pool, and I'm being called to... get our daughter out of the pool. She's ready.
Okay. She's ready. All right. Well, we're going to call it a month here for the One Pres Pod, and we're going to be intermittent throughout June and July, but we'll be back in full swing in August. Stephen, it's been a great month.
Thank you.
I hope people will thank you as they see you at church and whatnot for your time this month.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you, Phil. This is always fun.
Always good. All right, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we will talk to you later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the One Pres Pod. Please like and subscribe to the One Pres Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us comments and follow us on social media at First Presbyterian Church's Facebook account. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, peace.